crashing through the lies of the New World Order. It's Rex Jones on War Room Live. Thank you all for being here with me today. I'm giving you that full MOU, Memorandum of Understanding roundup between the U.S. and the Islamic Republic of Iran. We've covered it all. It looks like Trump is out there making a serious break against the neocons, trying to return to a peaceful state of existence for the world. Let's pray he's able to do that. Go ahead and throw that Massey tweet up there. Go ahead. I want to show that to people. $300 billion is five times as much as Congress spends on our roads and bridges annually. I'm tired of winning. The USA undertakes with regional partners to develop a definitive mutually agreed plan with at least $300 billion for the reconstruction and economic development of Iran. Yeah. You know, Massey, I'm tired of winning, too, if this is what winning looks like. And keep in mind, I'm happy the conflict may come to an end. I think this is a better, a much better scenario. Any better scenario or any scenario is better than the war continuing. At the same time, those of us, and I was saying this at the closed last segment, and I want to go deeper into this point with the 5 minutes that I have here, like the 3 minutes that I have here. If you are somebody that has a lot of family, that has a lot of friends, that knows a lot of people that have been brainwashed or co-opted or just ignorant enough to support this conflict and have been, you know, spoon-fed the propaganda by the TV or by the talking head on social media or by whoever, for the people out there that knew this was wrong from the beginning, that have been protesting it from the beginning, you have been vindicated. Okay. Trump has just come out on tape and told the entire world that he couldn't do anything about the missile program. He couldn't do anything about the Strait. He couldn't do anything about their true military power, which of course is the drones and missiles that he threatened to destroy, or the regime change that he tried to implement and effect. You have been right. You have been vindicated, and tell all of those people that hold those opinions, that back Trump to the hilt, that are neocons, that, you know, we know all of them. We all have people like this in our lives. Okay, we all do. And it's just in the same way that you would try to wake up somebody gently, sweetly, with kindness and compassion and love, that's a family member that's sick, that needs to get out of bed. In the same way you'd talk to like a libtard, we have to talk to these people. We have to do outreach. We have to let them know, hey, everything I told you 2 months ago, 3 months ago, speaking in the third person for you guys, everything y'all have told them, everyone, y'all, every piece of information that y'all have shared, it's all been proven to be accurate. And all the propaganda that got your family and friends to believe all this toxic garbage has been proven to be a falsehood 1,000 times over. There was never a nuclear weapons program. They banned that in 2004. Trump has come out there and confirmed there'll be no nuclear weapons. The Iranians have agreed to that. There'll be no nuclear weapons. So if that's the point, there'll be no nuclear. Okay, because people are really, really hung up on that one. He's not going to be able to limit their ballistic missile program. He's not going to be able to limit their military or do any of those things. He's going to talk about it. 13 Americans died and we spent $110 billion so we could talk about it. We shouldn't have spent any of that money in the first place. Now, let me take my argument, my position of us never should have done that as to why the $110 billion is a bad idea. And let's contrast that with the neocon Israel first position of, yeah, that's also a bad idea. He wasted it. He should have sent the Americans and thousands of them, tens of thousands of them, to die in a new Vietnam. Okay. Which position is more reasonable, more effective, guarantees safety for the world and for America? Not starting a giant war that derails the global economy where we have to spend $110 billion plus a $300 billion reconstruction reparation fee? Or option B, a giant World War III scenario that sees the war develop into a regional and global conflict where we send thousands and tens of thousands of Americans on the ground in to die. Men and women, children of yours, by the way, bleeding out in the Persian Gulf for absolutely no reason. 13 died, could have been a lot more, can be a lot more if we don't get out of this. That's preferable. That's preferable to having peace on earth and having women with the hijab on in Tehran. Please. Please, please, please. Every time they had some stripper come out and do a little dance and say, this is why Iran must be liberated because you can't have an OnlyFans. They don't have a central like IMF World Bank in Iran and all this stuff. You do realize these people are fighting to defend their way of life for a reason, right? You do realize we've lost our way of life. We aren't even really living here in America. We're all kind of just like, zombie mode. But I'll be right back here with you, breaking it down and more. The War Room Live. I love you.
I want to start with sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex.
This is Rocket Fuel. This is incredible. This is Rocket Fuel. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is a cocktail I drink every day. A squirt of ultramethylene blue and T3. You are insane if you don't get it. Okay? Well, listen. You are insane if you don't get it. I am a wrecking ball. I am obsessed with this. I can't stop. And now I'm having this. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. This is the truth. Because I'm a sexual Tyrannosaurus Rex. You understand that? Does that burn into your brain?
I think I'm going to buy some methylene blue now.
DallasShowShore.com.
The Iran war must end. All nations know this, but the ones in charge with the ability to make the conflict stop have been taken over by a hostile entity. Can the world and America free herself from the demonic influence? Let's go ahead and get back into it. I'm Rex Jones, hosting The War Room for you. We're going to take your calls here in a moment. I want to go ahead and read off the number here in a second. I want to thank you guys for watching. I always remind you to go to AJN Live, share and repost the live feed on X and on Rumble. Let's go ahead and get the phone number up there. I want to call in and hear from you guys what you guys have to say about everything I've been breaking down, Iran, the MOU, the prospective peace deal from Trump, and more. I'm going to go ahead and read out that phone number. That's 512-266-0642. That's 512-266-0642. Go ahead and call in. We got six lines available, 512-266-0642. Thank you very much. Here's the thing, right? I follow like a Dialogue Works, Larry Johnson, a Pepe Escobar. I follow a Judge Napolitano, a Gerald Celente, a Trends Journal, a Sonar 21, you name it, right? Antiwar.com, Dave DeCamp, another great resource. All these people have been saying what I've been saying much more eloquently for years prior to this conflict. Some of them, like Larry Johnson, have even been involved in military simulations where they tried to do things like, you know, extracting uranium from Iran. And it was proven to be a failure and a potential mass casualty event. That's why I've heard him cover it, or how he's characterized it, paraphrasing, of course. None of it's ever been designed to work out, or wargamed to work out, or planned to work out. It was all kind of a plan to nowhere, right? It was just, okay, we're going to drop X amount of bombs on Y amount of cities, and we're going to hope for Z. And whatever Z is, whether that's regime change, color revolution, moderate rebels, a failed state, whatever. There's a whole world of options. If you look at Libya, Sudan, Afghanistan, Iraq, all these wonderful places where we spread joy and love. By the way, we spread joy and love when the American planes come over, and when the soldiers' boots hit the ground, and when the special forces people break the jaw of somebody, we're bringing peace and love. Universally, we bring peace and love to the region. I want people to understand that, but I'm being facetious. I want to read a little bit because I do want to get into it before we take calls, and maybe the callers want to give me their perspective on this. I'm going to read you some economic numbers here from the Sonar 21 article from Larry Johnson. Oh, really quick, the Times of Israel. Now, go ahead and keep that up. That's good. I didn't see that. Trump, MOU with Iran, not final. What? We'll go back to dropping bombs if talks fail. I mean, my mega, you cannot be serious right now. You need to take a break. You need to take some five-hour energy and wake back up, maybe, because you're asleep. You're sleepwalking us into World War III. We're so close. We're so close, Donald Trump. Just do not do this. No mas, no bueno. Afuera, afuera. Get out. Enough. Leave. Leave the Middle East. We don't have to be there anymore. Good grief. And of course, it's the Times of Israel. I'll go ahead and read a little bit of it. U.S. President Donald Trump on Wednesday said that the MOU digitally signed this week is not final, warning that Washington would resume military strikes against Iran if they don't behave. This is not kindergarten. This is not third grade. These are geopolitical relationships between regional and world powers. Okay? It would be like you have a Zoomer out there saying no cap for real on God. It's a MOU. This is Trump. If I don't like it, if they don't behave, we'll go right back to dropping bombs right smack in the middle of their head, okay? Because they've misbehaved like they're a child, like it's children. For 47 years, we just watched him say we had to stop the bombing because we're going to run out of oil in 4 weeks and it was going to be really bad. You watched him on tape say that last segment, last hour, like 15 minutes ago.
So, Trump, you can't just keep bombing them. You can't just say, whatever, they've misbehaved. Like, I don't know what degree of it is kosher theater. I don't know what degree of it is old age and losing your mind. I don't know what degree of it is delusional narcissism and arrogance. I don't know what degree of it is Stockholm syndrome and blackmail. I don't know. There's like 12 different factors when you look at Donald Trump and the reasons why he's doing what he's doing today. There's probably like 2,200, 4,000 reasons. I'm going to go ahead and read this article before I forget. The great Larry Johnson, former CIA analyst, basically never wrong, basically the world's leading geopolitical analyst right now. I'm going to go ahead and read it from Sonar21. Let's give Donald Trump credit for one thing. He kept his word and lifted the U.S. blockade on Iranian ships, and Iran is going to town with its oil tankers moving in out of the Persian Gulf through the Strait of Hormuz. The picture above shows ships marked red and green moving as of 22:55 Eastern Time on 15 June 2026. That does not mean the MOU with Iran, which is supposed to be signed in Geneva on Friday, will hold, but it is a step in the direction of de-escalation. So important. The direction of de-escalation. When have we moved in that direction, ladies and gentlemen? Ever since this conflict started, and even before the 12-day war, it can go all the way back. We need to move and walk in the direction of de-escalation. So the question we ought to ask, why did Donald Trump blink and accept the proposal that Iran proffered way back in April? And this is that same old agreement. I think there are several reasons. This is Larry Johnson saying it, not me. But the principal one is that the U.S. is running out of oil. That's what Trump just said. We just watched the clip of him say we couldn't keep it up for four more weeks because we're out of oil, global crisis. You don't want to see it. That's literally what he said, which means Trump will not be able to artificially suppress the price of gasoline. U.S. strategic oil reserves have fallen to their lowest level since 1983. Reports CNN. I think that's when it started being measured as well. The decline comes amid continued drawdowns to mitigate the impact of the conflict with Iran. Reserves have dropped to 340.3 million barrels, last seen during the Reagan administration, who was still building the stockpile. U.S. daily consumption is 20 to 21 million barrels in 2026, which means the reserve can supply 17 days of gasoline, which falls on July 1st. So that's the real timeline. Right. That's the midterm timeline. That's the voter timeline. That's the American citizens timeline. 17 days until your modern way of life is over, gone, finito. It's a wrap. Stick a fork in it. Add some seasoning. You're cooked. 17 days. That's how much these people don't care about you. Trump is willing to, you know, have this giant Warhammer 40K tabletop battle where he's throwing the dice and moving the minifigures around, and it's you and it's your life and it's your economy. How much more? How much more must we suffer? How much more must we take? 17 days. That's how many days our leaders give us. You know, say, we'll end it because they got 17 days left before their life is completely destroyed, and then maybe they won't vote Republican in November. Am I not allowed to expect better or to ask for better or to vote for better, which is what I thought I was doing in 2024? Am I not allowed to be outraged at the level of disrespect I am shown as a voter, as a young person, as an American? Like, these are the questions we must all ask ourselves in this modern era. And this is Larry Johnson again. Donald Trump may be in mental decline, but he still retains enough smarts to understand that an oil shortage and soaring prices of gasoline in July is politically untenable. Yes, it will lose him and all of them the midterms, period. Another factor is that U.S. installations and aircraft in the Persian Gulf took a hell of a beating last week. The U.S. attacks on Iranian installations in the Strait of Hormuz on June 9th and 10th provoked a fierce Iranian response that hit targets in Iraq, CIA bases supporting the Kurds, Kuwait, the Ali al-Salem Air Base, Camp Bereng in northern Kuwait, as well as a makeshift operations center near the civilian port of Shuaiba, the Prince Saud Air Base adjacent to Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and the Mufwaf al-Salti Air Base in Jordan. The attacks were devastating and reportedly employed some new Chinese missiles supplied to Iran. I want to read this interesting point about the UAE. The UAE, who has been a thorn in the side of Iran and Saudi Arabia and has been identified as an ally, and that's an understatement of Israel, sent a delegation to Iran on June 9th. Reuters reported the UAE had agreed to release billions of dollars for Iran. Two regional sources put the figure at $10 billion, while other two sources put it at $20 billion, with the funds agreed in exchange for Iran halting attacks on the UAE. Hold on. I thought we were protecting all these people. I thought, yeah, it's our missiles, our Patriots, our THAADs, our bases. They'll protect you. What? You got to go pay protection money to somebody else. That's what I wanted to touch on there. Our hegemony in the region is over. Okay, they're paying money to China. They're paying money to Iran. They're paying money to Saudi Arabia, back channels, you name it. It's over. All right, now, we may maintain, you know, some regional position there. We may have troops there, may have whatever. It's all going to be phased out. There's going to be a new security agreement. I predict that it will be within Turkey and the Gulf states. they're going to have to start getting along. And as Israel gets more aggressive, not just to Iran, but to Turkey and to its Gulf state neighbors, places like Jordan, places like Saudi Arabia, that it publicly states belong to Israel as part of the Greater Israel Project, these nations are going to start to fall away. Because the big Mac Daddy, the Tony Soprano, has been proven to be a fraud, and that's the United States of America in this analogy, in this equation. Do we have callers on the board? Beautiful. Let's get that punched up. All right. All right. You know what? We got to start it off powerful and go ahead and get some Godzilla graphics up. Okay, because we got Godzilla from Wisconsin on the line. Godzilla, how are you doing today?
Godzilla.
Do we have him?
Hey, can you hear me okay, Rex, now?
I can now. How are you doing?
Pretty good. And yourself?
I'm pretty good.
Good. I want to talk about Keir Starmer, but just comment on how you've been talking about Iran. I think majority, when it's like siege, like even in olden times when they're like launching catapults, like these missiles and bombs are dropping, are no different, just modern versions. Like real negotiations and deals only happen after months, sometimes years of siege, like you've seen in the Ukraine and Russia war. You know, it's part of like this military-industrial complex bargaining and geopolitics. So I'm not surprised it's going as it is with Trump, back and forth. You know, even in regular business deals, it goes back and forth a bunch. It does suck, though, I agree with you, because it's like no one knows what the hell is going on. But I wanted to talk about Keir Starmer. You're familiar with him. He's over there in Europe.
Of course.
And I thought it was interesting. I never heard this before, but do you know the Seville case?
I don't.
Your dad talked about him a lot. He was like this creepy guy who was on TV who was like attacking kids and stuff.
Oh, Jimmy Seville. Yeah, of course. That guy is a complete monster. He was knighted. He was rich, and he would like donate to like a children's hospital for children that couldn't walk, and then he would go sneak in the rooms. A complete demon.
Yeah, he was a complete monster, devil, yeah. Creature, yeah, demon. And I didn't know this, but Keir Starmer was like the British equivalent of like Attorney General. They call it like Director of Public Prosecutions. And he was responsible of not only like assigning the prosecutor to that case, which ultimately led to nothing, even though there were mountains of evidence, but also the review of the case after. You know, so I never knew that Starmer is like literally covering up for Seville, you know, and that's like the person who's like leading the charge for the collapse of a lot of Western Europe.
I mean, what do you expect, though? Like, these people are all demons, right? So like the Jimmy Seville thing, it's par for the course. And of course, Keir Starmer was around for some of that. Like, it just makes sense to me. You wouldn't do this to your own country if you weren't evil, right?
100%. And I'm sure they use all like those sex crime stuff like Mossad does or the CIA does with Midnight Climax to like control people, you know, like you get them either willingly or doped up on some crazy drugs.
Right.
And then you get like compromising material on them and then you got them for life.
Right.
You know, but the other thing real quick, I wanted to ask you your opinion on is like, do you think the situation, since you're like on the like tip of the spear with like Zoomer millennial new generation front against Israeli influence in U.S. politics, do you think Israel ultimately will stab the U.S. military conglomerates here domestically in the back at the end of their Greater Israel project, or do you think they're going to live up to their deal?
I just don't think the Greater Israel Project is achievable. I think all these people, including Trump, including Netanyahu, everybody in the Knesset basically has had a mindset of, hey, we can use the American military might as a cudgel to do whatever we want in the region. The reason why I go off on all this stuff is it's the death of the American empire. It's the death of that ethos. Like, we are not going to be in the Middle East in 10 years because of this conflict, right? So Israel has doomed itself by forcing this war and by forcing us to get involved. Whether it's Section 224, whether it's all these things, we have to be passionately against them and oppose them and bring them to light. It's all over. it's done. There's not going to be this spirit in America, even in 5 years, it's willing to perpetuate this. It's all anybody's going to care about in 2032. 2028, it may be a big deal. There may still be a boomer holdover. But I'm telling you, man, the young people are getting tired of, you know, $20 cheeseburger. The young people are getting tired of seeing, you know, the Israelis and Netanyahu laughing about how they can make us do whatever they want. Young people are tired of all the games and all the garbage. We want agency. And it's very clear due to this war, we don't have any. Right. We didn't choose to do this. This wasn't even Trump being megalomaniacal saying, oh, ha ha ha, I can go in there and conquer them. Israel was going to attack. This is a Marco Rubio quote. I'm giving it again. Israel was going to attack. We feared American soldiers would die in the retaliation. So we had to join in the initial attack because we feared American soldiers would die. Do you see how that's a circle? See how they got us into that?
Mm-hmm. And it's like how I said earlier, you know, just part of like the system we developed of having countries held aloft by their military industrial complex.
Sure.
And, you know, this big game of risk in real life.
It doesn't work.
I think it's obviously problematic. You know, it's just leading to death, and it's going to get to the point where the situation is going to be easier to make life nicer and easier for everyone than continue just endless bloodshed. But I'll let you get to other callers. I don't want to take up too much of your time.
You're all good. Thank you so much. That's Godzilla from Wisconsin. Now let's get to Jeff from Texas on Iran. Jeff, we got about 7 minutes. How are you doing?
Hey, what's up? Do you think that this MOU is going to be an official end to the conflict?
It depends whether or not we go back in after Israel inevitably blows up Lebanon. So I would say no, because I think even if it gets signed, we're going to violate it because we do anything to defend our little brother. You know, or really, it's not our little brother, it's our mistress, right? We'll do anything to protect her. So I don't think it's real. No. I'd like for it to be. I'm on the hopium. I'm white pilling today. Damn you. I'm white pilling today. My bad. Not damn you. I apologize. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm of the same opinion. I think Article 1 requiring the U.S. and all of its allies to end the war on all fronts, including Lebanon, is a super obvious poison pill.
Untenable.
Israel's our ally, and they're going to attack Lebanon because they just can't help themselves. Some other articles I find concerning are that we're expecting Iran to clear the strait and bring the strait back up to its pre-war capacity and volume of ships going through within 30 days. When we already know for sure that if the war ended today and the strait was opened, it would take 6 months
right
to get up to that pre-war capacity.
I heard Larry Johnson say that as well, to remove all the mines and to do whatever. And that's like when Trump came out and said, we seized all these boats, we seized all the oil, whatever, and it was like 2% of normal traffic within the strait. And like that number I just read off, it was 17 days until our reserves are completely gone. We also played Trump admitting it himself, saying we can't do this because in another 4 weeks, it's all going to be over. Do you think when he says that he is, you know, this blind and this cowed and really this retarded to admit the truth to everyone and then go back in there? He also admits the truth talking about Lebanon, saying, number one, the attacks are disproportionate. Like when they use a drone, they'll blow up an entire apartment block or something like that. What's your opinion?
I think it's lip service. I mean, he's at the point in our relationship with Israel that Biden was during his presidency, where he'll pay lip service to it, but ultimately won't do anything
great
fundamental to change the relationship. So we now have a Democrat policy on Israel, which is still just being their slave
yes.
as a country.
Yeah, 100%. That's actually a great way to put it. You look back at Biden, you look at the relationship between both Israel and Ukraine, and the way that Biden would even try to say, I'm not going to send him jets or missiles. That'll be World War III, something like that. I'm forgetting the exact quote. And they'll pay lip service, and then they'll aid in, you know, attacks deep inside Russia on the nuclear triad. So it is something we have to look at it. I'm hopeful because this is the first time we've heard Trump talk like this in a very long time. And in some of these clips, Lutnick's eyes literally pop out of his head. So that also makes me hopeful. I like seeing all the crash outs from the Zionists and from the radicals on the neocon side. That's making me hopeful. But point taken.
I think maybe we get Israel to sit on their hands for a month or two on the Lebanon situation, but the 30-day requirement to get the strait back up to capacity is going to be our out, our excuse to start up the war again, because right. they're simply not going to be able to get the strait up to the pre-war volume. It's a total poison pill.
Right. Yeah.
But I'll let you get to other callers.
I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm going to be right back in the next segment talking to Sean, talking to Lynn, talking to Tim, talking to DiNardo. Looking forward to all that. I got to do a little plug. Go ahead and get 50%off.com up. I want to let you guys know I've got Knockout Sleep Support. Okay. You may have thought it was gone. Bestseller, hundreds of thousands of units sold. Millions of people have taken this product and love it. It's got the melatonin, magnesium, GABA, L-theanine. It's got the blue chamomile, the valerian root, the apigenin, all of it and more. 50%off.com. I've got Knockout Sleep Support. I've got the classic toothpaste y'all may have heard of before, whether that's Super Blue, whether that's the activated charcoal toothpaste from my grandfather, and much more, including colloidal silver, all available at 50%off.com. And hey, you want to get something? Get a sleep product. Get a sleep product that will improve your life. Check it out. That's Knockout Sleep Support, available at 50%off.com. That's 50%off.com. And I'll go ahead and do it. The AJN plug, the alexjonesstore.com, the most important place for you to go, really, to get methylene blue, methylene red, phenomenal apparel, shirts, knives, hats, anything and everything. We've got it available at thealexjonesstore.com. Of course, that flagship ingredient, that methylene blue, that T3 iodine. My dad likes to mix it together in some sort of like a sludge formulation. And you know what? Here, cut back to me. We're practicing what we preach. We're being based here, and I'm going to go ahead and take a little methylene blue goodie right now. Now, the great thing about these capsules is that they're all perfectly dosed out to be 10 milligrams of finest methylene blue. We get it from the same place in Florida that does a lot of the medical stuff. This is highest grade, USP grade methylene blue. And that is encapsulated. The feeling of 1776 and liberty. You can get it from us. Subscribe and save. Do all of that at thealexjonesstore.com. And the capsule is so clean. It's not like the blue liquid that'll give you a blue tongue and then ruin your interview, right? And I've done that more than a few times on my own page, on my own channel. I do want to let you know, Gray Area Talks, that's Thursday and Sunday, Gray Area Talks across all social media. Go follow that on YouTube, Rumble, X, you name it. And then the morning show, I am live 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. every single morning. I was live today. So I'm doing a 6-hour show for you guys because I'm in the morning and I'm here as well. And that's New American Journal. So especially if you're on Rumble right now and if you're Rumble chat, shout out Rumble chat, shout out to you guys. Go follow me or go subscribe, whatever it's called on Rumble. Go follow New American Journal and go follow Gray Area Talks. If you want to see more of me, I'm live every day, multiple times a day. I love doing it for you guys. It's really the only way to cover the news because the news is all around us. It's ever changing. It's like water. I'm like a fish. I'm like a shark. I swim through it for you guys so you don't have to. And that's Rex Jones News on Twitter. Thank you for that. Rex Jones News on Twitter with a Z. Give me a follow. Check me out. I tweet, retweet literally like every 30 minutes. I got something new because I take it as I'm a reporter. I'm a pundit. I'm a journalist. I'm a gonzo journalist, whatever. I'm out here trying to comment on anything and everything I can, trying to build that coherent worldview with you guys, getting into all of it. Follow Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. Be a part of the New American Revolution. Be a part of 1776. Be a part of AJN. Follow Rex Jones News on Twitter.
Inflation is up. That's an issue. So how does Berkshire handle that with its businesses?
Well, we can't handle runaway inflation except not to be there. But there are dozens and dozens of countries that have experienced it. And of course, you have countries that have gone bankrupt like 6 or 7 times. I mean, not having faith in the money does to a country. It turns it into something else. Yeah. And I've always hoped that the U.S. never does it, but we are not immune from it happening.
Dollar collapse means we keep continuing on where we are. Dollar devalues. We've got massive inflation. You raise interest rates to slow that inflation down. So the implications of that are bond market is toast because the value of bonds, the price of bonds comes down as interest rates rise. The inverse is also true. When interest rates come down, the value of bonds goes up. So as you raise interest rates, the value of bonds comes down. Who's allocated into bonds? The bond market is way larger than the equity market, the stock market. So you've got pension funds that are allocated into bonds, right? Anybody that's on a fixed income, banks are allocated into bonds. Consider this, an insurance company. Most insurance companies across the country are allocated about 90% into the bond market with their internal portfolios. What does an insurance company do? It pays beneficiaries when people die, right? So if the asset that they have to sell to pay those beneficiaries is coming down in price, this is gonna have a cataclysmic effect on the insurance industry, on pension funds, on everything, and on the banking system.
And let's be clear though, a dollar being the world currency is how we could just print it and buy whatever we wanted. If the world sees it like the Mexican peso or worse, we're screwed.
Yeah, because that was our get out of jail free card, right? We could print as much money as we want and everybody around the world still needed the US dollar. If you don't have reserve currency status like every other country, other than the one that has reserve currency status, when you print excessively, people no longer want your currency. Don't let the news scare you, but rather use the wisdom, the creativity that God gave you. Go into tangible assets that have zero counterparty risk. Silver was up over 140% last year. Since January 30th, when it corrected and it had a 50% correction, went down into the 60s, it's almost 90. Literally, since February, silver's up over 30%, Alex. So you can roll over your IRAs. You have an old 401k, roll that over. Your brokerage accounts, take delivery of it at home or store it at a depository. If you don't want to take delivery of it at home, we'll walk you through that, answer your questions, make sure that you feel comfortable with everything, because it's ultimately your decision. We're just here to help guide and go on this journey with you. 1,000-ounce bars of silver, 100-ounce bars, 10-ounce bars, or 1-ounce generic refinery rounds.
But then you can roll over the financial instruments, too.
1-ounce gold bars or kilo bars, IRAs. If it has IRA in the name, simple, SEP, Roth, traditional, inherited, we can do that. Or you can do just a brokerage account that you just wire as funds, and it's a non-IRA account.
Is it wholesale? And are they buying it back with no cost? No fee. This is the place to go. And we'll get into gold and silver as well. Better Kirk Elliott, KEPM.com/gold. That way they know it comes from us. So it supports the broadcast. KEPM.com/gold or 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900. Call and get a free consultation or sign up for email. They'll call you back. They can also roll over a lot of financial instruments. This is the place to go. KEPM.com/gold. So gold and silver is the way to go. The best investment the last 2+ years. And you can just check the wholesale price every day. That's what you get it for. You sell it back. For no cost, nobody else of any size does that. That's real.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Smoking a little bit on that Mark Levin pack, that Ghost Haze OG Mark Levin Bubble Kush Runtz. Smoking on that. Look how mad he is. Hey, no pants. You're burping all over the internet about Israel and Jews. Israel is not involved. Enjoy. In response to Matt Gaetz's assertion about Netanyahu meeting with Mossad, maybe another false flag plan afoot. Just go ahead and scroll. Okay, this is Trump's greatest ally. This is the show that Trump watches. This is Trump's favorite talking head. Look how angry he is. Marky Mark, I'm not getting what I want. I'm not getting a total nuking of Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran. I'm going to crash out and have my menstruation. Crazy. Just look at that. This is how you know we might be headed in the right direction. Okay? I'm not even going to do the impression. I'm not even going to do the voice. Just look at that. Okay? So we're smoking on that Mark Levin pack. We're smoking on that Mark Levin runts. Okay? We're smoking on that today. All right. Getting back to y'all's calls on the Iran war and so many other topics, not to get distracted by the demon gremlin that is Mark Levin, even though he's actively crashing out right now. Look at him. Look at this person. Would you let this person babysit your children? I don't think so, ladies and gentlemen. All right, let's go ahead and go to Sean in California. Grok on the MOU. Sean, you're on the air.
Hey, Rex. How you doing?
Pretty good. Can't complain.
Great, great. Hey, I got to compliment you on, your dad would call it a gut feeling or your instincts. You kind of raging about this memorandum of understanding is appropriate. To put in context what I'm saying, you know, I do that general drill assembly stuff, and I was talking to one of my mentors about that yesterday afternoon, and I'm not going to go down what he said, but I'm going to go what my take is, and I'm going to share with you what Grok's take is, and your guts are right on point with this. The way I look at it is when you hear people say they sign an affidavit of truth, well, you sign an affidavit under penalty of perjury. It always has to be truthful. So adding that extra stuff into the title is just a stupid add-on to the document, shows they don't know what they're doing. A memorandum of understanding. If you sign on to something but you don't understand it, that is another bit of legalese and just stupidity. They titled the document and basically told on themselves. So with Grok, what I did to further back up what our point is, I told Grok, explain a memorandum of understanding in legal terms for me. And I put the name of it, of course, in quotation marks. Grok proceeded to do so, but in the core legal characteristics, the first big paragraph, Grok says, in legal terms, an MOU sits in a gray area, I'm sure you'd appreciate that, a gray area between a casual agreement and a fully enforceable contract.
Right.
In other words, it's a gray area. It's legalese. It's right. A worthless document. It's neither black nor white. It's not binding. And so your prediction, for example, that it's going to get shot full of holes, that's why these attorneys are sabotaging Trump. They're right. Sitting around and giving them a piece of crap document that's not worth the paper it's printed on. And I think your suspicion that they're going to just, you know, again, play games up, down, left, right, they're going to be doing it this again. So before right. I leave you with that point, 50%off.com, I will be buying some of that super glue that you have there because I've used that before and given it out as gifts. And I'm looking at Alex's three belts he's putting out with Bigley. That's a heck of a deal. Three belts, $99. So you guys are rocking it this week, man.
Thank you so much. We do our best. And when it comes to the stuff in the store, I'll always give you the best item, the best price, the best quality. That's what I was raised and trained to do. The best salesman sells the best stuff. I really do appreciate that. With what you're saying, the United States is agreement incapable. Okay, we all know this. We're aware of this. Now, maybe Trump, theoretically, if he actually had the power to do it, could make the agreement, but he's 80 years old, and like you kind of say, he's being led around by lawyers with the legalese. So with the United States being agreement incapable, with Trump, even though he wants peace and needs peace, being unable to achieve it, what do you think is going to happen when inevitably Israel attacks Lebanon to a degree where Iran has to get involved again? Do we just like restart the war? What's your view on that?
You know, if we really want to fist it to Bibi, Netanyahu, and others, we could create either, now, see, these are going to be simple terms, either a pact, a treaty, or some similar document in which we pledge mutual defense to each other's investments in that region between Iran and the U.S., this whole rebuilding we're going to do.
Right.
If Israel messes up Iran, they might damage U.S. equipment and U.S. employees and workers, and we make Israel the enemy of the U.S., and that'll maybe make Israel, you know, shake a little in their boots, or they'll try to sabotage
right.
it and expose themselves further. What do you think?
Excellent point. I really agree with that, and that could be the silver lining to the reconstruction to that $300 billion. Thank you. Excellent call. Please call in again. I really appreciate that. Now let's go to Regina in North Carolina. Some of my favorite subjects right here, ma'am, with the boomers and the Iran war.
Hey, Rex. How you doing? I tell you, you're amazing. But
thank you.
Let me just tell you, I am a boomer. My husband is a boomer. We are very conservative, and I am totally against the Iranian war.
Right.
Absolutely. But what I do not like is when yourself, your dad, and I love Alex Jones. We've been listening to him for a very long time.
Right.
When you lump all the boomers
right.
in one pile, we are not that kind of people.
I
am very conservative. I am not a Zionist. I don't believe Jews have a special way going to heaven because they
right.
do not. They absolutely do not. But you need to be looking at, I don't know what boomers you're talking to, but I certainly do not believe that at all. When I grew up, okay, I had to work very hard for my money.
Sure.
We were under Carter. We bought our first house. The interest rates were astronomical. The banks didn't even look at you if you didn't have 25% down. We worked our behinds off. So when you look at boomers, please do not lump them all the same because we are not.
Sure. No, I agree with that. And that's why I say hashtag not all boomers. And it's what my grandma said, like, you don't have to be a boomer to be a boomer. And when it comes to boomers just in general, it's this voting block in the past 30 years that's been dominant and has had this control and has taken us, you know, to Iraq, to Afghanistan, now to Iran again. And we just look at it as young people, and we really don't want to be taken to war. I know you understand this, looking at like the Vietnam time period and all of that and stuff that we're talking about here on this call. The thing I want to express to you is, yes, maybe I can do a much better job of clarifying and saying not all boomers, maybe coming up with a new term. Really, it's a neocon spirit. But the neocon spirit came from a lot of these boomer politicians that have been in power for forever. And they use their age and they use their experience as an excuse to plunder the country. And that's kind of the main problem. That's why I have to come out or do come out and say these things and reference the boomer kind of as like a general group. And I get that we shouldn't do that. They reference us, the young people, as lazy, entitled, untrained.
I would never, ever, ever label any young person as lazy unless you are lazy,
right.
Unless you are. But if you're out there working hard, if you're trying to make a dollar, hey, I'm all with you. I do not label any of the young people like that. And not all boomers. I vote the way we vote, my husband and I. We look at the person who's running. What was their voting record? How do they vote? What's going on with them? A lot of people, they have no clue what the
right.
person even stands for. So I just wanted to clarify that. I am totally against the Iranian war. I voted for Trump 3 times. I still support him. Do I agree with everything he does? Absolutely not. No. I was born and raised in New York, heard of Trump. He's always been a New Yorker. He was away, and you got to understand the way New Yorkers talk. That's just the way Trump talks. He's a New Yorker. I'm a New Yorker. But the thing is, I don't agree with everything he does and everything he says, but yes, I did vote for him. Is he better than the garbage we have out there with these lunatics running on the Democratic side? Absolutely. Absolutely. I wouldn't vote for a Democrat if you paid me. If you paid me. So I just wanted to get that across.
Thank you for the call. I really do appreciate it. Very valid points. I appreciate that, ma'am. Let's go ahead and go to Lynn in Minneapolis. He-Man, the movie, a Christian allegory. I haven't seen it. Lynn, you're on the air.
It's really good. Roger Sweet was a devout Christian. And so I love going up to these, you know, I'm a boomer too. A VIP also, but I love going up to them and pointing out, you know, that it has a Christian theme in it.
Right.
And this man was bringing my steak and I told him, he says, you know, you're right. I'm going to go see it after work because it's something that, let me tell you this. His chest plate has a Templar's cross on it.
Oh, wow.
I'm worried, you know. I have friends that say, I'm just going to let Armageddon come and all like that. What if the Templars had done that and didn't push the Islam Muslims back into the Middle East?
You think that's what's happening now? It's kind of a crusade?
I tell you what, I'm worried, you know, they need to get control. And I'm talking about Israel, too. Israel's hijacked that name. The Jews have hijacked that name. Israel is a man, Jacob. Israel is 12 tribes, 12 sons by 4 women. Right. He had a daughter, too, okay? But one of the tribes don't get to heaven, according to Revelation. And the two sons, Genesis chapter 48 and 49,
right.
They all got prophecies. The two sons of Joseph was included in the 12 tribes.
So what do you think's going on right now in reference to that? How does that tie in?
I think that they need, you know, the Christian Bible was was edited. You know what I mean? Things were taken out and things were put in. They better get their synagogues and their mosque. You know, they need to come together and determine, because we're not compatible. Being a Christian, I'm not compatible with you.
Okay, so you're for kind of like a resurgence in the region, saying, "Hey, well, we're letting the Israelis control it. We should be controlling it, perhaps."
In the region there, you know, it is. They've got to come together, and really come together in peace. You know, this fighting and all like that. Well, some say they're going to fight forever.
Well, I appreciate the call. I thank you for that argument. I've got breaking news right now that I'm going to go to. Deal in effect, U.S. and Iran digitally signed memorandum of understanding. I did it through DocuSign. Can you believe it? No one's been an efficient president like this before. I did it. Hey, Obama, he signed it with a pen. He went, right, right, right. No one's ever going to get a photo of me signing on to $300 billion to Iran, let me tell you. Okay. The United States and Iran, Hezbollah and Hamas, on Wednesday electronically signed the memorandum of understanding for the ending, Axios reported, citing two U.S. officials. The agreement is now in effect. Blah, blah, desert name, the spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry, confirmed the report, saying, right now, as I'm speaking with you, the text of the Islamabad memorandum has probably reached the presidents of Iran and the United States for signature. He added, it has been agreed. It has been agreed that the United States-Iran memorandum will be signed digitally. Once the MOU reaches the presidents of both countries for signature, any violation of it, right there, look at that, any violation of it will carry a higher cost. So that's where we are. Head games, like that Foreigner song. You know, we're entering the danger zone. We're playing chicken for real. Desert Name also stated that while there had been plans for the negotiating teams to attend an in-person meeting signing ceremony in Geneva or Brussels, the signing of the MOU digitally means no signing ceremony will be held in Switzerland. Why would they go? Why would they go? Oh, we can read the article in Hebrew. Do, 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 do. However you do the little song. Okay. Breaking news, and we got it from Axios as well, the CIA mouthpiece, so you know that it's confirmed, that other news sources from Israel, another good place, so you know it's confirmed, it's the overlords. The U.S., Iran, and the mediators are discussing holding the signing of blah, blah, blah. I guess that's outdated. It's done. It's done, so let the chips fall where they may. Let me go ahead and take the next call. Let me talk to Tim in California. Been on hold for a while. Tim, how are you doing? Howdy, howdy.
Thanks for taking my call. You're doing a great job, as always.
Thank you.
I know this is a little bit off in the weeds, but I think it's worth it. You know, Elon Musk is basically, in my humble opinion, he's like the Albert Einstein of our lifetime. He's figuring out things in a clever way, you know, the simplest thing, like Occam's razor kind of concept, the simplest things. And he outsmarts everyone that way. And, you know, he just became the world's first trillionaire with this IPO for his SpaceX.
Right.
But it should be noted, hey, man, he's got all these companies, and only one other went public, and that was Tesla. But SpaceX has been around since 2002. He couldn't have possibly need the money, so what's up with that? And about a week before it went public, I heard a guy give like a 10-minute lecture, and as soon as I heard it, I knew that's absolutely the truth. That's exactly what's going on, and here it is. So I'm going to share it. And you can tell me when you hear it, if you think, yeah, that makes sense. Okay, with this AI, you got three major problems. One is you need a lot of land, and it's got to be close to, you know, transmission lines and so forth. And you need a lot of power, like more power than we even have. Right. And then because it gets so damn hot, you're going to need a lot of water, millions of gallons of water to cool it off. And also water that we simply don't have.
Right.
And people are going to be trying to compete in this model. Well, he's already figured out that instead of doing shots into outer space and having them one use only, I'll just have them land on barges, or I'll catch them with chopsticks. I'll just reuse it. And I think he's had over 2,000 reused launches now. It just doesn't seem possible, but he's just really that crazy. He's really going after all this outer space stuff. Well, guess what? If you take AI to outer space, you don't have a problem with land anymore. You got unlimited space. And as far as power goes, there's no clouds in outer space. The sun shines 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, unlimited power, free of charge, right?
Right.
And then thirdly, you don't got to worry about cooling everything down because outer space is 454 degrees below zero Fahrenheit. I mean, it's 2.7 Kelvins. I mean, it's basically absolute zero. It's just that damn close to absolute zero. So this guy, since he's already got the whole thing of launching it up there, just like it's an everyday thing for him, no big deal. Think about everyone else now that's chasing their tails, trying to figure out land, power, and water. And this guy can do it from outer space, and he just completely eliminate all three of those things. If you ask me, that's a better mousetrap. I think he outsmarted everybody.
Okay, so you think he's going to take it to space. That is an interesting concept for sure. We talk about the reusable rockets and all of that. You know, out of all the billionaires, I distrust anybody that's worth that much money. But you look at him, they all have to be crazy. He just kind of wants to run around and have a bunch of kids. And that's like, you know, probably the best version of a bad situation you could get there. And I do think it would make sense instead of poisoning ourselves with it on Earth. Maybe we put it in the air, put it above us or something like that. Very awesome call. Phenomenal points. Thank you, Tim, for that call. And look at that. Unlimited power. We got the Palpatine graphic up there just for you. Really love that. Thank you so much for that. Let me talk to Michael. Michael, you're on the air. Howdy.
Hey, this is actually the Owl Killer, buddy.
Oh, how are you doing?
Hey, not bad. Hey, so I just want to give you guys a plug. Thank God I did not go to Dr. Jones Naturals because I was about to buy toothpaste off of there. But now that I know that you're running 50% off,
yes.
I'm super happy about that because I just ordered 4 tubes myself.
Beautiful.
The way I see it. Yeah, the way I see it is, why am I'm going to use fluoride-free toothpaste. I might as well begin from you guys.
Yes.
Now, I really would like to see you bring Nitric Boost back.
Right.
Because I saw Dr. Jones Natural, basically, they did Vaso Beats, but they got a new name on it. So, those two products I loved. I used to love Nitric Boost and Vaso Beats. Right now, I'm just got my stockpile that I did before you guys closed up on InfoWars. But anyhow, so I think there is the only real solution, and I brought it up with your dad yesterday. He doesn't think that he obviously doesn't think that the government's going to go for it. But the truth is kind of where your other caller was bringing up, or where you were making the suggestion where we provide the security for Israel. That is the cheapest, and it's the only real long-term solution in the sense that Israel is just too dangerous. And the Jews do deserve to be able to live in peace and not have to worry about being attacked. And I just think that Netanyahu government, they got to go to jail. And we got to come up with some type of deal between Russia and China. But that, you know, that'll start scaring people with Gog and Magog. But where... For the interim, Israel cannot have an elected government, and we just provide them. We just provide safe haven for the United States, for Christians, for Jews, and for Muslims. We don't let anything happen to them. But you know, and I'm against long-term overseas military bases.
Right.
But with the amount, look at what we're spending on the war itself. Look at what we're spending. Look at what the foreign money that we got to give to these countries in the Middle East to protect them from these threats. And if that Jonathan Pollard clip is true,
right,
where he's saying that they
threaten the nuke,
basically where they blackmailed us into, if you don't get involved with us in this war over here, was in the 70s, that you know we're going to end up using nukes.
Yes.
Isn't that exactly why we supposedly attacked Iran, was the fact that they have or were on the verge of nukes and they were going to use them? So, and I'm not like people, like for some reason they can't use what's between their ears. I'm not saying attack Israel. I'm totally against that. But what I'm saying is, if that's the case, then Israel is the actual
threat. Let me come in here. So what you're addressing here is the critical hypocrisy in all this, which is we can't allow one theocracy to have a nuclear weapon, but we back and support another one that already does, right? And this myth of the secular atheist state of Israel founded 78 years ago, that's also the 3,000-year-old state of Israel promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the Bible, and all of that is a completely ludicrous idea. And with what you're saying, here's the thing. I'm totally against violent action of any kind as well. Simply just stop giving them the money to do these relentless genocidal and ethnic cleansing campaigns in other countries, right? And the problem with all that is that the vast majority or a large portion of the Israeli population is highly militant, and they see the Greater Israel Project as existential, and they have to do it. We simply have to show them that we're not going to be there as their big brother to help them through that process. And I think what you're going to see, what's already been happening, you can look at Argentina, you can look at Cyprus, you can look at Thailand, for example. You have a mass exodus, no pun intended, but also intended as well. You have a mass exodus of people that are Jewish Israelis leaving Israel because they know it's unsafe, right? So how do you deal with the critical brain drain? How do you deal with the resource drain? How do you deal with being targeted, being hit all the time because you're invading all these different lands, all these different countries? I don't think they're going to be able to keep it up. And I think they'll have to sue for peace eventually. I think they'll have to realize this. It's very scary, though, to see opposition leaders like Naftali Bennett say Netanyahu's not going far enough. We're going to destroy them. We're going to destroy the regime. Well, if Trump and all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again, and Humpty Dumpty is regime change, it fell off the wall, then there's no point to any of this. So I really appreciate the call. We got about like a minute 45 here. Anything you want to say in closing?
Well, so I think that they have to go for broke because they already see that the way that they're looked at in the rest of the world is already changed. So they're going for broke now. But I think you got to pay attention to what the big thinkers. I don't like Henry Kissinger, but the guy was a genius.
Yes.
And he said about 10 years ago that just on the demographics, Israel was not going to survive much longer. So they have to go he knew that. So they have to go for broke now, and because they realize that the military support's not going to be there. And look, like you said, and it disgusts me. Like, I would wrap my shin bone around somebody's head if I saw Jews being persecuted the way that they were on the college campuses and stuff like that. Like, I don't like – that disgusts me. Like, I don't want to see anti-Semitism. But that is the result of Israel's – because people can't put two and two together.
Let me come in here because we got 36 seconds left on the clock. Netanyahu is the greatest anti-Semite to ever exist.
This is
an inarguable fact. No one's made people hate the Jews like Netanyahu has. And like that's just a fact of history, a fact of where we are in the modern world. Thank you so much. Really appreciate the call. We'll be right back with Alex Stein in the third hour. Stay tuned. We're going to get into all of it coming up.
Folks, I'm Dr. Bigley. Today's presentation will be about methylene blue and you.
Dr. Bigley, what does methylene blue do?
Great question, Billy. It has to do with your mitochondria, the powerhouse of your cells. Let's bring out the mitochondria now!
Right.
As I was saying, methylene blue supercharges your mitochondria, which does wonders for your mental clarity, stamina, and overall pep. Just look at him go!
Gee, Dr. Bigley, he must have drank a lot of methylene blue. He was bouncing off the walls.
Right you are, Billy. He sure drank a lot. Let's continue, shall we?
Billy, did you know that methylene blue can cure communism?
No, sir. Can I see?
Why, certainly, Billy. Take a look over there.
Behold, Ivan, a Ruski doggedly determined to undermine our way of life. Careful, Billy. He bites. Oh. Look, vodka, potato hooch. Watch. The communism is slowly leaving his body.
Wow, the methylene blue cured the red right out of him.
So, how do you feel?
Gee, Doc, I don't know what got into me. I feel like $1 million now. Say, where can I get some more of that blue stuff in case I become retarded again?
You can find it on the alexjonesstore.com.
What does .com mean?
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, alexjoneslive.com is tomorrow's news today.